I would like to officially call this meeting of the Bronzeville Advisory Committee to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Burden?
Here.
Mr. Matthews?
Here.
Ms. Montgomery Baker?
Here.
And Ms. Manuel should be coming. And Mr. Chair?
All right, thank you. According to the agenda, the next item should be the approval and review of the minutes of the April 25th meeting. But what we're going to do is take the agenda a little bit out of order. We have Ms. Melanie Swank from the City Attorney's Office here to talk about item number four, how we should conduct ourselves regarding community meetings and making sure that we don't violate the open meetings law. And Ms. Swank has a time constraint, so we are going to take her first. So welcome, Ms. Swank.
Thank you very much.
Okay. As you know, we have the Bronzeville Advisory Committee, and we're governed by city ordinances and open meeting laws. Alderwoman Coggs also wants to have some Bronzeville community advisory meetings, not official meetings of this committee.
Uh-huh.
However, a number of the members would probably attend some of those community meetings. So we just wanted to have a little clarification as to whether there would be a conflict with the open meetings law or how we should avoid a conflict if the alderwoman called a Bronzeville community meeting and some of us as committee members wanted to attend those community meetings.
Sure.
If I made that clear.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you very much for inviting me here this morning. I appreciate your community service and your conscientiousness about abiding with the open meetings law. So as a government body, you are subject to the law. And there are two key triggers that happen that begin the open meetings law process. First of all, the numbers test and the purpose test.
Okay.
So whenever there are a quorum of you present in one location, there's a rebuttable presumption that you are there to do the second trigger, conduct business of the Bronzeville Advisory Committee. So whenever three of you are present in anywhere, there's this rebuttable presumption that you're there to do the business. And if you're there to do the business of the advisory committee, then any such meeting must be preceded by a public notice. The public notice requirement is fairly simple, and you've got staff available that'll assist you with that. So what I would suggest is that any time you think there might be a chance that a quorum of you will attend a public event, whether it be Alderwoman Coggs neighborhood meetings or any other community event, that you notify your staff person and ask them to provide a public notice. Mm-hmm. And that public notice can do one of two things. It can either say a quorum of the Bronzeville Advisory Committee may be present, but will be there for information gathering only and will not conduct any business. And it should give the time, date, and location of the meeting or the event where you may be. Or if you intend to take a more formal role at the meeting, plan that out ahead of time and notify your clerk that you will be there for input from the community and to respond to that input, whatever, so that you can bring it back to the committee as a whole, so that the staff can then do the appropriate open meetings notice prior to that meeting. And then that way you are kept clearly within the appropriate boundaries of the open meetings law. So in other words, you know, for a meeting like this, it's very clear you're here to do the advisory committee business, and it's very clear that you need a meeting notice that includes the agenda. On these other types of events, it's a little less clear where you fall. So the Attorney General interprets the law, and they have said if you're in this sort of gray area, err on the side of caution, do the notice, and that keeps you clearly within the law. The staff at the city clerk's office has done these types of notices frequently. For example, instances where an alderman wants to hold a press conference in the city hall rotunda, and there's a chance that a quorum of one of the subcommittees or the entire Common Council may be present, they do one of these brief meeting notices that simply says a quorum of the Common Council or one of its subcommittees may attend Alderwoman Coggs's, just as an example, press conference. They will not conduct business of the subcommittee or the Common Council as a whole, but they may attend for information gathering purposes. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would recommend that you do.
Okay.
Does that answer your questions?
I think it answered the question, but let me ask members of the committee if they have any questions or any comments.
Yes.
So what do you suggest do in the event that we find ourselves in a quorum, in a space, and we haven't done the public meeting notice?
If you, well, first of all, this quorum and purpose test is subject to some exceptions. It does not apply where it's a purely social gathering or for a, like, a conference that you may be attending, or a chance gathering. So the example I use is you find yourself, three of you, in the same aisle at the grocery store, what do you do? Keep in mind, you know, that's a chance gathering, it's not covered by the law, but there is this rebuttable presumption. So if some member of the public would say, I saw a quorum of you, I think you were discussing Bronzeville Advisory Committee business, just be prepared in your mind, or maybe keep a log of where you accidentally ran into each other, and you know you spoke cordially, but you didn't discuss the advisory committee business. And the purpose of that would be, in case there is a challenge, so that we'd be prepared to draft the appropriate affidavits to establish that you did not, in fact, violate the law, you did not discuss advisory committee business, you just ran into each other by accident. Another thing you could do for the neighborhood meetings is decide in advance and just assign one of your members or two of your members to attend those meetings so that you can bring back information you gathered and put it on a properly noticed agenda and then present it to the rest of your committee members. If that's the case, then you really aren't required to provide a public notice, but I don't think it hurts to do that notice anyway. Keep yourself, you know, you're already committing all of your time for this committee. Why be distracted with any more of your time for any possible challenge under the open meetings law? It's pretty simple, and just I think it's better to do that. But in those circumstances where you have no idea that you may run into each other, then you know what I just told you is how to handle that.
Well, I'll just say from a personal standpoint, you know, I would not like to restrict or inhibit any committee member from going to a neighborhood meeting. And I think that that's one of our purposes, is to, you know, sort of be visible and, you know, give feedback and talk to residents. So my personal feeling is that, consistent with your recommendation, that we ought to give notice. It doesn't hurt to do that.
Right.
And if we, you know, give notice from an informal standpoint that, you know, we're going to be attending, or if we plan to conduct some business, we can make the notice more formal. But in any event, I think it would just be good business practice for us to do the notices.
I think that's an excellent idea, and it keeps you, you know, clean on the open meeting. So plus it lets the public know what you're doing and where you'll be, and that's helpful to them as well. So the only thing you would have to keep in mind is by city ordinance, the notice has to go out 48 hours ahead of the event. So you just need to be able to think ahead, you know, the 24 hours so that you can give the staff enough time to prepare the notice and get that out. And if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer those. Or if at some other time, you know, an issue comes up that involves either the public records or open meetings law, you're certainly welcome to call me anytime at the city attorney's office, and I'll be happy to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Deshae, did you have a comment?
Just a quick question about the time frame.
Okay. Deshae, could you come to the table, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Deshae, AGDCD. Just had a question on the time frame that in between the when the actual event happens and when the public notice goes out. Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Just so the committee knows.
Yeah, by statute, it's 24 hours. By city ordinance, it's 48 hours.
Okay.
And my number at the city attorney's office is 286-8012. Please feel free to call me if you have questions or want to generally talk about what you do as the advisory committee member.
What's your name again?
Melanie Swank.
Swank.
S-W-A-N-K.
Ms. Swank, just before you leave, I noticed that Alderwoman Cox has joined us.
Great.
Just want to ask the Alderwoman if she had any questions for the city attorney. Okay. Well, we certainly thank you for taking
you.
Time to be with us and advise us. I think we know clearly what we're going to do. And on the question of timing, we will coordinate with the DCD staff, with our committee clerk, and with Alderwoman Cox's office to make sure that we meet the appropriate time specifications for the notice.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you for your work to the community. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. And if any other questions come up, hopefully we can call upon you
perfect.
To come down and give us sage advice again.
That would be just perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. We can get back on the regular agenda. Before we call the roll, let it be noted that Ms. Manuel has joined us. I don't think you were present when we did the first roll call, so we want to make sure that you are duly noted and present. Okay, going back to item number three, review and approval of the minutes from the April 25th meeting. Members need a couple of minutes to look at the minutes. Hearing nothing, I presume that members are ready to deal with the minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Approve.
Fidel? Okay. Second?
A second.
We have a second. Okay. Any discussion or corrections, comments on the minutes? Hearing none. Please, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, minutes approved. Great. Okay, now we can go to item number five. We are very pleased to have Ms. Janine Edwards, Wu Connections, with us today to give us an update on the Bronzeville Cultural Center. Thank you very much for being here. We're all very anxious to hear about the Cultural Center, so take it away.
Good morning, everyone. I feel I'm amongst friends, so I want to say thank you all for your service, and really want to thank Alderwoman Cox and also the leadership from the Department of City Development for the work that we've developed really as a team. And I just wanted to start off by first giving some context just around history. Because in certain ways, this has been a long journey. I originally came on board as a consultant to work with America's Black Holocaust Museum during a transition period. So to see us here today, to be at a place where we really are advancing a scope of work that's really focused and strategic around the development of a plan for a cultural arts center is a really great thing. So what I'd like to do for the committee today is just give you a sense of the project overview. Mm-hmm. Just really at a really high level, and then also talk a little bit about the phases that this work will be in, and then talk a bit about key next steps and open it up to see if you all have any questions and also any advice and direction. So really the broad scope is really that the project will develop a strategic plan and a sustainability plan for the cultural arts and entertainment district in a really broad way, but specifically focused on the cultural center. And I say that because it's been our view that we really need to think about what are the assets within the entire district, and think about how we can bring those to bear for the cultural center, But the focus of the work is really on developing a plan and sustainability plan and key stakeholders that we can bring into the center. The way that we've divided this work is really in two phases. Phase one is really the stage that we're in now, and that's described as a visioning stage. And the goal for this stage is to really ask the question, you know, where are our assets? But probably more importantly, who all do we need to bring to the table to be involved in advancing this plan? And to develop a shared vision that really speaks to the cultural arts and the elements of sustainability for a Bronzeville Cultural Center. The work under this phase one is really an opportunity for us to sit down and develop a real detailed plan. One of the things that happened years ago is, you know, there's been several iterations of groups coming together, artists coming together to share ideas. But, you know, because a lot of that was really focused on the Holocaust Museum as an anchor, it's an opportunity for us to look at this with really fresh eyes and bring a whole new group of people to the table. More innovation, more ideas, really the better. And so we're going to host a visioning session, and it's one of the questions I have for this committee, because we'd love for all of you all to be involved in this visioning session and thinking about broadening that list to other individuals in the community that we think can help shape this idea. So I'm working, of course, with Alderwoman Cox and working with the staff from DCD to identify a list of participants. But I'd like to ask this committee to help me identify a date that we can put on the calendar and probably for a window of about 4 hours have a planning session. Also in phase one is the, going back to this conversation about the key informant interviews, we'd like to interview 20 to 30 key informants, and that we're identifying those people or describing those people as people who really have a stake in what's happening in the district, and also people who may not, you know, be involved in the district at this time, but have some perspective on culture, arts, and creativity. I want to underscore that point just because I think it's going to be our best effort if we can really think about culture and arts in the broadest sense possible. I think in the past we've been very focused on thinking about what kind of arts organizations that we could bring to the table, what kinds of creative industry businesses we could bring to the table. But I think we're really at a point where we're saying, how can we look at this definition of cultural and culture and think about that for what could be best for Milwaukee that could really be a great asset for the district? And so these interviews will hopefully start to take place in the next couple of weeks. All of you all, of course, on that list to be interviewed. They will be one-on-one interviews. They could be telephone or face-to-face, but I will be conducting those interviews and possibly one person that works with my business, and we will compile all of the information from that and be able to deliver a report to this committee and also take that report into the visioning session. And then another piece of phase one is the development of an asset map, or we can call it an inventory or a directory of what is currently in the district. There's been a lot of movement, there's been a lot of change, there's been a lot of people who've come and gone. So the question really is, you know, what exactly exists and how do we put that information together in a way that's easily accessible and useful for all of the stakeholders that are in the district. Beyond that, we really have talked a lot about the need for us to really build some excitement and activity in the district and to start to do that now. So our goal is to think about what kinds of arts, entertainment, and cultural events that we could plan from now through the fall that will really get people to see that this hasn't died and that we have a vision and that we're moving forward. And so I'm going to ask the committee to think about ideas that you have for events And we'd like to start to brainstorm on what might be some possible, just maybe one or two events for the summer, but even through the fall, how do we continue to bring people together to build excitement around the district and the Cultural Arts Center? My last point that I just would like to share is that the bullets that I just shared with you were really focused on phase one. Phase two of the scope of work is really a lot more on the actual development of the plan. So the idea is that we would develop a sustainability plan, a program plan, and really start to think about, for the cultural center, what is it going to take for this to be successful? So that includes, of course, looking at a financial plan and a sustainability plan, and includes trying to bring the right people to the table to be able to be tenants and occupants in the center, and to give us a chance to have a 3 to 5 year look out. So we're not looking short term, but we're thinking about the long term sustainability of the cultural center. And I'm happy to share more details about phase two, but I think because our focus and intention is really focused on the first phase, that's why I hope that we could have some discussion today just around ideas that you have or thoughts that you have around those activities.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to open it up to committee members for questions or comments. To Ms. Edwards. Committee members. Let me just start then by asking, at this point, is the focus still on the old Garfield Avenue School as the base or the foundation for the cultural center?
Yes, it is. What we'd like to do, and I'm happy that Alderwoman Kyes is moving to the table, because I am going to defer to her. But yes, that still is the focus area, but there are some important steps that we have to take from a standpoint of just what has to happen here at the Common Council. Mm-hmm. And Alderwoman Kyes is advancing those, and we're moving that conversation forward. But we felt it's very important that we continue to start that planning process and get some of this important work done alongside of moving forward with actual building.
Okay, I'm going to turn things over to Alderwoman Cox, but let me preface it by saying we fully understand that negotiations are sensitive, and you know there are some things that you can disclose and some things that you cannot. So give your presentation, we certainly understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Janine stated, our focus for the Cultural Center is still on Garfield Avenue School. In fact, Milwaukee Public Schools has passed in committee and with their full board permission for the building to be sold to the city for $1. The RACM, the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Milwaukee, has also approved us taking the building for $1. The file did appear before a zoning and development committee, because that would be the next step, and then after zoning and development, the full council would have to okay the purchase. As it appeared before zoning and development committee, what was it, 5 or 6 months ago? Mm-hmm. Some questions were raised about feasibility, financially, the mothballing of the building, the cost to the city, who the end user was going to be, who the end responsible party for the building was going to be, who the tenants were going to be, and all of these things. So it has been held at committee to allow for us to have the opportunity for as much of those things as you can answer ahead of time, and some of it you can't. That we do that, and Deshae AG from Department of City Development has been working diligently on the feasibility study and a lot of those other aspects. So at this point, I would defer to Deshae to go into that.
Thank you, Alderwoman Cox. Up to this point, what we've done is a full feasibility of the building to look at more of the systems, electrical, fire safety and ADA compliance. We've looked into all of that, and at a separate time, I'll bring that once it's finalized to you all and present that to you. It is very near complete. We've been working on it since about January, end of January, and so we are near complete. We're working with Epstein Union Architects and a group that they've put together, and so I will come back with that plan. And that plan is phased, so we would look at the we're calling it the annex to the building, or the addition to the building close to Garfield, mm-hmm. as a phase one, essentially, and we'd fill the first floor, the second floor, and have the main school building completely kind of separated and isolated from that. And then as we fill that that addition to the building, then move over to the main school building, because there's a number of upgrades that would have to take place there. So we want to look at what was most feasible initially and what's closer to being ready and occupied. So we will sort of go in that fashion. But more of a full plan I'll be able to bring back to the committee, so you all can see what we anticipate occurring with that building, on both buildings, but the site overall, which would include sort of a preliminary site plan, looking at keeping the parking in the back, maybe doing a little reconfiguration of it. We do have the entrance in the building right now at the front of the building, but we're looking at making the rear of the building, since the parking is there, sort of exiting that, so that could be considered the entrance. And some of the things that we've most recently looked into is the likelihood of sprinkling the gym area. Mm-hmm. Which is configured a little different from classrooms, and so we've had to really look at that and see if that if how we use that space affected whether we are sprinkling that space or the whole building. So we've looked real very much so in detail, but I will bring that full plan back to you all, so you all can see where we are and what we anticipate occurring with that project.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just add, the concerns raised by a few members of the Zoning and Development Committee are some legitimate concerns, and I think the pushback was more so based on ensuring that we have a quality plan, mm-hmm. As well as that the real estate is not a money pit, mm-hmm. To kind of safeguard the city a little bit, so. This time has allowed for us to check into all that.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I think yes. In certain ways the phase one that I've described, our thought was that